have gathered in your name. Longing just to seek your face. Jesus, dwell within our praise. Let your glory fill this place.
Be welcome here. Be welcome here. Some convenient friends surround our lives. We lift it up before our eyes. Lord, be welcome here. Be welcome here. Let your presence fall like rain. Be welcome
around. Is it well with your soul this morning? That's the question we ask, don't we? If it's not, it can be. Right? Give it to the Lord. We can only carry so many burdens, and then it gets too heavy for us, doesn't it? Too many things to worry about. You know, you worry about this and that and health and retirement and all these other things that you can worry about. But God says just give them to Him, because we don't need to carry those things. Family issues, health, all those different things that we can worry about. Worry about the weather, but you can't change it, right? Worry about your age, but you can't change that either. I'd say worry about your looks, but you can change that. And not always for the better, right? You better just stay with what God gave you and enjoy what you have and who you are and how you look and the way He made you. Because He made you that way specifically, and maybe you're made that way to be able to minister to people in a certain way that somebody else can't. Like, I can minister really well to short people, and Dan ministers well to tall people, you know, so it works out pretty good. Now, we can minister to all kinds of people, can't we? Young and old and whatever. You just need to be willing to be used by God in whatever situation you're in, and be willing to be a minister, because we're all ministers of the gospel, whether you want to be or not. As a Christian, you're a minister, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how you use that ministry, right? If you're yelling and screaming at people, that's not a very good ministry. If you're praying with people and talking to people and trying to share and being real and authentic, and if you don't know an answer, don't try to give one you don't know. Learned that a long time ago. If you don't know, you just say, I don't know, but I can find out, or I'll try to find out, instead of giving an answer that they're going to say, well, they told me this, and it's not even right. That's not even the right passage. My wife has a good memory. She knows all these passages, you know. Me, like, I'll look that up. I know it's in there, but I can't tell you what verse it is, but I know it's, you know, so we all have different gifts. I have the gift of speaking fast, and, you know, I should be like an auctioneer or something, but I'm here instead. So you need to listen faster. We have any praises this morning? Praise that Ernie's here. You don't have to get up. You can stay there.
No, I want to get up. I brought my cheat sheet with me.
I'll hold this for you.
I want to thank people. Sending me a card. Neely's, this little girl made this, and that guy back there, and that guy there. I'm going to treasure that for a long time. I had a lot of feelings. Martin Luther King said, I've been to the mountain. I've been to the mountain. I want to say something. I really appreciate people in this church. Those two people sitting over there, Steve and Joy Miller, when I first had my hip replaced, they came. When I was in, rehabilitation at Audubon, they followed me right on through, took me to lunch, breakfast. And that guy sitting back there, Tina, and Randy Scott. Thanksgiving time, they gave me a... Every day I see that plate of turkey. They brought me food last Sunday. Called me yesterday and said, you want something to eat? And they're going to find another church like this. I want to thank all people that I forgot. And I see Everett with his red roses to make a big difference. Some of you have lost some things, had some sickness. I want to say to you this. When you expect God to come in the front door, He comes in the back. When I was 17 years old, I used to go to different churches to find girls. I was not fortunate. Then God sent somebody 600 miles away from Ewing, Virginia, to visit her aunt. And she came to our church, so she brought my future wife. I want to say this to you. sometimes we wait, don't see too much of God. He doesn't answer our prayers that fast. It took me about a month or two to realize when I was down with my knee that God was just appointing everything I had did. On time, just like this morning, getting here on time. A lot of people have done a lot of things for me. This guy right here, he visited me here last week and fixed my door while he was there, along with a lot of other things. I can look back 2 years ago when he, my washer, my dryer, my hot water heater, my garage door, he fixed them all. That lady right there, and that Alex, they came and helped me. I want to say this to you. I have felt so full of God's presence while I've been off for 4 months. And I'm still praying for the lung lady. Remember the lady I told you about that had two lungs replaced and they were both infected with COVID-19? And she was 17 months in the hospital at a cost of $3 million. That was a neighbor of mine. I'm going to say this to you. I have trouble praying at night. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I fall asleep in the halfway through, but then I wake up later on. I want to encourage you to pray at night. This is one thing God has laid on my heart. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm so tired. I'll tell you, the way you get awake and the way you get together, when I have my regular prayer time in the morning, I just sit there and just wait for God to move. And that's what I say to men who say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray about. So many people think that living a Christian life is so complicated. Not with God. I want to say this to you for people who haven't heard me say this. I wouldn't go out on that road, on that street, unless I had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to me and my salvation. I wouldn't go out there with all the things that happened, because I went out there one day and two cars passed me at over 100 miles an hour, racing, two race cars. I get Meals on Wheels, and the lady came in and she said to me, my mother and I delivered Meals on Wheels to these people, and they were both in the car, and the two men wanted to steal their car, but it would take too much time to get them out of the car, and they wrote on their forehead, FOOL, F-O-O-L. I want to say something to you. We want to see these people incarcerated. We want to see them put away. We want to see them killed and so forth. I wouldn't want to send anybody to hell, because in hell, the only thing you're going to have is your memory, according to me. I want to say a few other things I want to say to you. I don't know how to come across too well, but you're important to God. You are so important because you're witnessing. Like Martin Luther King, if you have baggage against races, if you have baggage, pray, God help you. And I know a lot of men have other kinds of problems, work, people at work. I'm going to sit down and shut up, but what I'm trying to say to you this morning, it's later than you think.
Amen, right? Any other praises, what God's been doing? Hollydale. Actually, it's Holly Joy, remember.
Holly Joy, that's it. God is so good. Is he not good? Is it not beautiful outside? Just fabulous. It's so good to have Ernie back. And I just encourage everybody to pray for each other. You don't know what the power of prayer, how great it is. So many people that I've been praying for, and we keep a list on our Bible study of prayers every week. And I put a star by every answer, that every praise that comes in. And God is just so faithful. And it's great to have Ernie back. He just thrills my heart. I just also wanted to. It's hard to put in words how marvelous his creation is. You look out here, and there's the blue sky and the sprinkles of glitter on the snow, and he's just so awesome, just so awesome. And I just heard this quip the other day, and I just wanted to share it. And it has to do with not just snow, but other things in our lives. If you don't get joy from snow, you will have less joy in your life, but you won't have less snow.
That's good.
My sister and brother-in-law that went to the country we're not allowed to talk about, they got there 3 weeks ago, and yesterday I got a picture. They're free from their quarantine, so that's all good. And I don't remember how much you all know, but they left 2 years ago, not because of COVID, but then they couldn't get back in because of COVID. And in the meantime, one of their business partners was sent home by the government. So that business shut down, and so now they're going back in with a new business, and don't ask me what it is, because I don't know. But they've been using the last 3 weeks to study for that, so.
Good. Dee Hansel is on here with us, and she would love for us to please pray for Teresa. She doesn't have long before she gets to meet her Savior, but we'd like to pray for her and for the family as well as this happens.
We have Teresa, we have Anna Zimmerman. Chris's uncle passed away this week. Where's Helen? Helen's brother-in-law passed away. Oh, there's Helen back there. Any other requests this morning? Fran? Fran's going home tomorrow, hopefully.
I'd just like to say, Fran is supposed to come home tomorrow. She she looked up at me yesterday and she says, all the prayers, that's for me, is to let me come back home. We want to thank everybody who prayed and thought about and visited. At one time I didn't think I would ever come home. But the Lord seen to it that I am, so keep on praying, not only for her, but for me, because I've got to help take care of her best as I can. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord, for getting us through the snow and getting out of our neighborhoods and helping us not to fall down on the ice or get stuck. Be with those requests that were mentioned this morning, Lord, those who are nearing the end of their time here on this earth, or those who have already gone ahead. Lord, those who have different issues that need to be taken care of, health issues, and we always talk about emotional issues and spiritual issues, relationships, finances, all kinds of things that happen to us as human beings, but we know you're there in every situation, in every case. We know you're there with us. Be with those who aren't with us today, Lord, we still pray for them, that they'll be safe, that they'll get a message from you, whether it's from radio or a friend or another place they're visiting, those who are traveling. Just be with them also, God. Help us, Lord, as we deal with life. We deal with COVID and the flu and colds and cancer and all kinds of things that happen to people. Help us with our relationships, Lord, that may be strained or broken or issues with that as well. Just give us your strength to make it through. Let us know that you're there with us all the time in all circumstances. to guide and direct us, to help us through, and to make us strong and be witnesses for you. Guide and direct us this morning, the rest of this service. We may glorify you in all that we say and do in your name. Amen. I just turned that one on.
Call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name. Above the waves, when oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
May this part be really our prayer.
Thanks for that, Jesse. How many have ever gone fishing? How many has ever been just a worm drowning experience? Yeah, a lot of times there are, right? Well, if you go on fishing on a boat, what are you supposed to do? The one thing you're supposed to do when you're fishing on a boat? It's true, bring a fishing pole. Stay in the boat. Or stay on the boat, one of those things you're supposed to do. I remember one time when I was in Wildwood, New Jersey with Campus Crusade for Christ as a candy store manager. My boss offered to take us out on the ocean to fish. Sounds like a great idea, right? Now we're going to go out fishing, and he got this big, huge boat. We all went out there, and all excited about catching some fish. We kept going further and further, and the boat's kind of going like that, you know. And as we get out there, we stopped about a mile or so offshore and threw our lines in. And I caught one of these fish called a flatfish. And so it was going pretty well. And then as we're standing there, felt kind of funny, like, oh, I don't feel so good. So I went on top of the boat, on top of the deck, and I laid there for the rest of the trip because nobody else wanted to go in. I didn't get sick as far as throwing up, but I felt sick the whole time, and I was just laying on the thing like, please, God, let us get out of here. So I don't do too well on boats. My wife can tell you that. We were in Australia. We went out whale watching, which was fun for the first 5 minutes. And then after that, I just kept making trips down to the bathroom and then upstairs, and down to the bathroom and upstairs. And once we got back to shore, though, I felt I was fine. So it's just something about the movement that we did. But when you're fishing, you know, you're supposed to stay in the boat no matter what, or stay with the boat. And if you don't end up staying with the boat, you might end up being fished for, right? Maybe you're the one that's getting fished for. Well, today we're talking about Jonah. We know a lot about Jonah. We talked about him a lot of times, but we're going to look at a little bit different aspect maybe of that today. So if you have your Bibles, Jonah chapter 1, we're going to look at a real fish story about the one that got caught, not the one that got away. Bible Gateway says that Jonah was from Gath Hefner in Galilee and would have prophesied in the reign of King Jeroboam II. Assyria had been forced out of Damascus, and Jeroboam, free of northern territories, rebuilt Israel. At the time, Nineveh was part of an extensive complex of cities that compromised Assyria's power, but wasn't the capital. But it was a great trade route. So if you look it up, there's a trade route that goes through here. It's an important place. And I think part of the idea of the Ninevites were, if they could be converted, that'd be a great thing for God, wouldn't it? If you could have a city that's transformed for him and people go through it, they're bound to share with those who are around. So a little bit of the background story. Jonah chapter 1 said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and had such a violent storm arose that the ship was threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each one cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship, but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell asleep into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, and maybe he will take notice of us and will not perish. The sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they asked him, tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? He answered, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And this terrified them. What have you done? For they knew he was running away from the Lord, because he already told them so. Sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? He said, pick me up, throw me into the sea. And he replied, it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the great sea was even wilder than before. He cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life, and don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, the Lord, have done as you pleased. And they took Jonah, threw him overboard. Raging sea calmed. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And we're going to start from there. Take a look at the first part and go over it a little bit more in detail besides just reading it. But reading it, you get an idea. This is the story. This is what's going on. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, told him to go to Nineveh and preach because they were wicked. And here we have God speaking directly to Jonah, don't we? We don't know if it was an audible voice. We don't know if he just kind of heard it. We don't know if he felt something, but we know that it was clear what he was supposed to do, and it was something specific. It wasn't vague. He didn't just say, go to Nineveh and then do whatever you think. He specifically said, go to them and preach to them, right? He wanted them to repent, so he told them to go there. It was clear and direct, and there was no confusion. So we can't say, well, Jonah didn't really know what he's supposed to do. You know, he's kind of confused. And sometimes in our life, you know, I think God speaks to us today. It's not just a one-off thing. He still speaks to people today. If you talk to people, they can say, you know, I know God spoke to me in this way. I know he answered this prayer. I know I was supposed to do this. I could just feel it was the right thing to do. I had confirmation. So they have clear direction. When we went into ministry, as far as missions, when I left teaching, it was clear. We knew exactly what we're supposed to do. Do other people always hear what you're supposed to do? No, they don't always. But there'll be those who God has spoken to as well, I think, that confirm what you're supposed to do. Maybe it's a leading. Maybe it's a thought. But somehow it'll be confirmed, I think. Maybe it's even an audible voice. I've heard people say they've actually heard God speak to him. My wife will tell you the story where she had to visit Blanche Daniels walking down the hallway of the hospital. You probably heard that story. And she heard a voice say, visit Blanche Daniels, and she turned around, and there was nobody there. And then she heard it again, visit Blanche Daniels. She went to visit Blanche Daniels, who was in that hospital, which she didn't know. And then that evening, Blanche actually passed away, so she was one of the last ones to talk to her, minister to her, and be with her. And so she heard a voice. So I think the main thing of this part is that when God tells you something that's clear, you need to do what he says to do, right? We don't always do it when our parents tell us, do we? You need to do that. Okay, I'll get around to it. You know. So when God says do it, he means do it, not mess around with whatever you're doing. So Jonah heard what God told him, but he didn't want to do it. And here's the thing, he thought he could run away from God. That's impossible, isn't it? You can't run away from God. This shows you how far he's supposed to go. He's supposed to go to Nineveh, but he went to Tarshish, which was 2,500 miles in the other direction, trying to get away, thinking God's not going to find me. So he found a ship. He paid the fare. He went aboard and was sailing away, he thought. But he couldn't hide from God, can he? The Bible tells in Jeremiah 23, can a man hide himself in a hiding place? So I do not see him, declares the Lord. Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord. That means he's everywhere. You can't go anywhere that he's not going to find you or see you or be with you. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. So we think sometimes we go behind closed doors and God can't see what's happening, right? I'm going to do this thing, or I'm going to watch this show. I'm going to get on this website. Nobody's going to ever figure this out. But God's there. It's like having somebody stand right over your shoulder and you think you're doing something that you're not supposed to do and nobody's going to find out, but they're watching you. So God's there. But it also says he's in the good places too. When we're doing good things, when good things are happening, God's there with us, and sometimes we tend to forget that God's there in these good times. Only when things happen bad that we think, oh, God, I need you now. We need him all the time. Psalm 139 tells us we can't flee from the presence of God. We can go to heaven, and he's there. We can go to the depths, and he's there. If we rise with the dawn or settle on the far side of the sea, God is there. So what was Jonah thinking as he tries to get on a ship and get away from God? So we know Jonah's a prophet, right? It's not that he didn't know that God was there, but what was he thinking? I'm going to try to get away. He wants me to do something that I don't want to do, so I'm going to go away. He claims to love the Lord. He wants to serve him, but he still tries to get away and not do what he knows he's supposed to do. Have you ever done that? God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it? Maybe it's that person in the restaurant and God says, you need to go pay for their meal and say, God bless you. And you're like, I don't want to do that. You need to say something to that person over there. I don't want to do that. They're not going to like what you want me to say. So we make the decision for God, don't we? We know he's telling us to do something, but we decide we don't want to do it because we know better than him. No, because we're stupid. Right? How can you think you know more than God? If he's telling you to do it, you know it's from him, then we need to do it. Sometimes it's because we make poor decisions. Right? Sometimes it wasn't a dumb thing. We just made a poor decision. It was in haste. It was out of something else. We had something else going on. You see somebody broken on the side of the road, and you say, I don't have time to stop. When you probably really did. And God kind of pricked your heart and said, you need to stop over and help that person. Right? You need to give them whatever it is, gas, or change their tire or something like that. And you think, oh, I'm just too busy. Well, are you really too busy or you just don't want to do it? We need to ask those kind of questions. Sometimes we say that God doesn't know what we want, or he doesn't talk to us. But he does talk to us through prayer, doesn't he? Through other people, through confirmation, through his word. Hopefully, as humans, we don't have to go through the thing that Jonah went through in our mistakes in disobeying God. I don't want to go on a storm. I don't even want to be in the ocean. I'd be thrown up everywhere, so I don't even want to go out there and do that. But we get situations where we make it hard for ourselves sometimes when we disobey God, and there are consequences to disobeying it, aren't there? Well, we know he's going to be with us and help us and strengthen us in doing what he wants us to do. Here it is in verse 4 and 5. Where God found him. Actually, God knew where he was all along. But it says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose, the ship was threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. You think God was a little bit upset? That Jonah didn't do what he wanted him to do? Thing was, sometimes our actions affect other people too, don't they? It didn't just affect Jonah, it affected the whole crew. Because of Jonah's disobedience. And as a sailor, they don't usually get too scared when storms come up, do they? But when they think it's a storm that's going to kill them, they probably were afraid, like, this is going to be the end. There's nothing we can do. Pray to our gods. But they didn't pray to the God. You ever see that movie called Master Commander? It's on a ship, and it's rough out there in the sea. One of those kind of things when you think it's going to be the end. The waves are crashing over the ship, and it's about to break in half at any moment. Sailors pray to their gods, but not Jonah's God. They even tried to throw the cargo over. So if you're a ship carrying cargo, you're not going to throw that over because that's your money. If you throw the cargo over, you've got nothing. But they were willing to give up everything to try to stay alive, weren't they? Forget the cargo, guys. We just want to make it back to land. So they were in a bad way. Have you ever felt that you're in so deep, you're not going to make it? Unless somebody helps you. You're in a situation or a circumstance that if somebody doesn't help pull you out, you're not gonna get there. Maybe it's a relationship or money or health or whatever it is, you feel like you're being pulled under. Maybe you're there today, maybe you need help. But a lot of times people need help and they don't tell anybody. Then you don't find out till after it's too late. So as a family, we should help each other, shouldn't we? If you need help with something, you should say, I need help, or I need prayer, or I need whatever it is. Well, where was Jonah in all this? Verse 5, but Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell asleep into a deep sleep. And the captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, and maybe he'll take notice so we don't perish. I don't know how Jonah could be asleep below deck either. Maybe he was just so tired. Maybe he was so used to the sea. But you think that kind of a storm was so rough that he just didn't bother him. Maybe sometimes you're just so tired, so worn out that you just fall asleep and you just feel like you can't get up. Maybe he's in that situation. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe he was just sad and depressed and was in a deep sleep. But there he was, sleeping. The captain knows he's a prophet and tells him to go to call on his God. Maybe he'll save him because none of the other gods can do it. But we know our God can do things that can't be done, don't we? Things we think are impossible, he can do. People you think will never get saved, he can change them, right? Where would you be today without him? What course would you have taken in your life had you not become a Christian? You ever think about that? Where you would have been? What you would have done? Where you'd be today? We've read and heard in some cases of even miracles that happen. They can only be explained by the acts of God. But if we're going to see things happen and things change and things we can't explain, then we need to have God do them because we can't do those kinds of things. People say it can't be done. And you say, you don't know the God that I serve. I like those kind of stories that people tell that are real, not just fictional. So what happens next? The sailors said to each other, come up, let us cast lots and find out who's responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said, tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble. What work do you do? Where do you come from? What's your country? From what people? He said, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And it terrified them, and they said, what have you done? So they must have known something about Jonah's God, right? If I serve this God and I did something wrong, what have you done now? Basically, you know, we're all stuck in this now because of you. So they weren't sure who it was, but the lots told them that it was Jonah. Just like when they chose Matthias in Acts 1:26, they had cast lots. Whether they were sticks or straws or whatever they were, I'm not sure. But it showed Jonah was the cause. So Jonah's on the ship trying to run away from God. Trouble comes up. They cast lots and they say, it's you. And he's like, okay, yeah, it is. It's me. Throw me overboard. Do we do that today? Or we know we're the cause of the problem, but we don't want to admit it? We just deny it. No, it's not me. It's not me. I didn't. That's them. They're causing the issue when we really know that it's ourselves. But Jonah admitted it. The problem was he didn't do anything about it. You can say it's my fault and then do nothing about it, right? Yeah, it's my fault. And then as far as it goes. Did you make any reparations? Did you repent? Did you have any issues with the person or whatever it was and try to fix it? Did you ask God for help in it? It says the sea was getting rougher and rougher, and they asked him, what should we do? He said, pick me up and throw me in the sea. It'll become calm. I know it's my fault that the great storm has come. Some questions that I was asking here is, why didn't Jonah just jump overboard? Why didn't he just jump over? Instead of saying it's my fault, throw me in. Because I don't think he had the desire to jump in. He needed somebody else to kind of do it for him, right? Why did he tell him to throw him in? He could have been a hero, couldn't he? Oh, he jumped over. Look how awesome he was. But no, he didn't. He asked the crew. Jonah knew what he had done, but he couldn't get himself to do what was right. He knew it was a punishment that was going through him because God was punishing him. He willingly said, I'm the guy, but he needed somebody else to throw him overboard to get him into where he's supposed to be. You think sometimes we need somebody else to kind of push us a little bit? Maybe God's calling us to do something, and they're like, I could never do that. Sure you can. You need to do that. That's what God wants you to do. So basically, they're kind of just throwing you overboard, aren't they? Saying, get in there and do what God wants you to do. We have situations a lot of times like that. Sunday school teachers or whatever it may be. This one example, nursery. I know we have people in nursery. We need to work the nursery. Sometimes maybe God needs to kind of push you into that area. You say, I love kids, but oh, I'm just too busy. I can't do it. Right? Whatever it may be that God's calling you to do. Sometimes I think we feel like that in life in situations. We know we need to do something, but it's hard getting ourselves to do it. Somebody comes along and nudges us. We feel like we're sinking, but we know we can call on God. And when that happens and he answers and grabs our hand, then we know we can trust in him. If he did it once, he can do it again, right? Did it the first time, he can do it the second time. We realize it's only going to be safe when we go through him. So what did the men do? Did they throw him in? No. They tried to paddle a boat instead, right? Said the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. They cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing this innocent man. They tried to do something on their own, didn't they? We get in a situation where we know we're supposed to do something that only God can do, but we try to figure out another plan. Well, what if I just do this instead? What if I just do that instead? But not really what you want me to do. I'll just kind of do something like what you want me to do. Then we wonder why it didn't work out. There are times we need to do the things that are hard.
in order to save somebody else. Maybe it's showing tough love to somebody, or turning somebody into the police, or saying no for their own good. Those are hard things, aren't they? Especially if it's a family member and they want you to do something. Just do this on your taxes. Just speed, you know, or do whatever it is that you're not supposed to do, that you know you're not supposed to do. It's not going to hurt if you just take that thing. It's not really stealing, right? It's just a fork or a knife or whatever it is you're taking. Not a big deal. I need one of those. Can you get me one of those from work? Yeah, we got plenty of those. I'll just bring one home for you. Right? That gets kind of close to home, doesn't it? When it does those kind of things. We know it's not the right thing, but sometimes we resist what the right thing is. It says, the sea grew wilder, and the men turned to God and asked him. They said, don't hold us accountable. So when God asks us to do the hard things, we need to do them, don't we? Maybe he's asking us to restore a relationship. Maybe he's telling us to stop adding to our credit cards. Stop acting out in anger or using food as my comfort. All those things affect people, don't they? And I don't know if it affects any of you. So don't say, he was talking to me, because I have no idea if any of these things are you. Verse 15 says, then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. So when they finally threw Jonah in, they were rewarded by the storm calming down, weren't they? But they also gained a faith in the Lord they didn't have before. They gave up their gods and worshiped the God, because what they had to do was hard, and they saw that their action had a result, and they committed themselves to the Lord. So through this horrible ordeal, God was faithful, and they obeyed. He rewarded them, and they found their faith. So sometimes we go through hard times. We pray to God, and we get through the end. We made it. It strengthens our faith or renews our faith that we may have not have had as strong before. We obey God, and God recognizes it in our lives, and we grow closer to him as a result. But what about Jonah? Did he just sink to the bottom of the sea and drowned? No, we know, because verse 17 says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. I can't imagine what that'd be like. Can you imagine that? The belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights? It says he prayed, though. If you look at it, it talks about him praying. Oh, God, please get me out. Help me. I got to get out of here. I can't take this. Please save me. I'm sorry for what I did. Sometimes you get in a tough situation, and that causes you to pray for God's help, which you may not have done before had you not been in that situation. 3 days and three nights, and it didn't kill him. I think this experience was a little detour in Jonah's life. God took him by the wayside and literally took him to the depths, didn't he? And kept him there. He lived through a miracle, and God used him to save his people. And maybe today you feel like you've been thrown overboard, and God may be sending a fish, not a literal fish, figuratively, to save you, to take you where you need to be. Maybe he's using the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you, to let you know that he loves you, cares for you. He's going to help you get through the hard times, but you got to do your part as well. Then he spits out Jonah onto the shore, doesn't he? Jonah goes to do what he's supposed to do, and he still gets mad later on, doesn't he, about the tree that grew up and why it died. And the whole point of that is you're more concerned about this tree than you are about these people over here. Sometimes we're more concerned about our things than we are people's lives and going to hell. We don't hear a lot of sermons today about hell and damnation and those kind of things, do we? We think hell's just a figure of speech, but it's actually a real place. Whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. And hopefully, we get a chance to tell our family and friends about heaven and about hell, about both sides of the coin, and which one do you want to choose. And the great thing is, we believe God gives us a choice. He offered Jesus, and we can choose to accept him or reject him. It's our choice. But it's an eternal choice that we make, don't we? Jonah had a choice to obey God or not obey God, and God said, you aren't getting away from me. I'll do something that's never been done before. I'm going to send a fish to swallow you, keep you for 3 days, spit you on the shore, And then I still want you to do something. And Jonah finally got the idea, didn't he? Man, I probably should do this. God's really serious. He wants me to do it. So he did. So the question we ask today is, are you faithful and obedient to what God wants you to do? Does it sound impossible? That's okay. If God's telling you to do it, then go for it. Pray. Ask for other people to pray with you. And then do what God wants you to do. Maybe you're going to travel someplace. Maybe you're going to start a new ministry. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're going to be in the LifeWise Academy that's coming, if you heard about that. That's teaching the Bible during the school day, where kids are released during the school day to hear about God's Word. So we're having a meeting on the 17th with the pastors in the community, with the mayor, discussing how to get that in place and how to use that and how we can be used. So think about that. Maybe God's telling you, I want to be involved in that ministry. So look it up online, LifeWise Academy. And that's been in the works since 1952. It's been okayed, but nobody really knew about it. So Joel Penton, Ohio State something or other player, I don't know what he did, but anyway, you probably all know what he did. He's the one who started that, and now we're talking about doing it at West Jeff. So it's on the third phase, and hopefully by next year, kids will be able to be in there and hear about God and what he's done, and it'll hopefully change their lives and change our community. So maybe God's telling you to get involved in that. I don't know. Whatever it is, you need to do what God wants you to do. Or you might be swallowed by a fish. Okay, let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. Thanks for being with us. Help us to learn from Jonah, Lord, that you do speak to us today. You do have things you want us to do. We need to obey those things, and you'll give us the strength and the power to go through those things and do what you want us to do. So help us, Lord, with especially things that are coming up. We think of the LifeWise Academy, that you'll just help us, Lord, to be involved in that and see kids' lives changed. Help us to this church as we continue to reach out to missions, to those that need to hear about you, and be with those here, Lord, that are needing a touch from you today. In your name, amen.
Swallowed by a fish to get me up here, so he knows, she knows. But like Stephen said, he'll bless you as you step out and you do what God says. And that's why I chose this song. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you God, I pray that we really are yours this morning and this week as we go about our lives. We give ourselves to you, whatever you're asking of us to do. If it's simple things to change our diet or go talk to the neighbor across the street or jump into a music ministry, God, whatever it is, we surrender and we bring our hearts and our minds and our hands and our feet to you this morning and this week. And we ask that you run with us, bless us, speak to us, to do what you've called us to do. And we give all the glory and the honor to you in your son's name. Amen.